Hey, thank you for hitting play. Okay, so I know there's no rule about how I'm supposed to like do an introduction, but I feel this like weird pressure, like I'm supposed to do something specific, but I even contemplated not doing an intro at all. I'm just like going straight into the conversation, but I thought it would be helpful to have a little bit of context around this. So Sean is someone who released music earlier this summer, and I thought it would be a really great opportunity to sit down and just talk about what that process was like for him. He's somebody who's worked in television and worked on Broadway, and I always love talking to young creative people who are navigating, building a career, especially in the entertainment industry, just because that's what I'm, most familiar with. So I was really grateful that he came over and spent time with us, and by us, I mean me, and you'll hear in the background occasionally, producer slash my boyfriend, Sam Yabro. I think a lot of value can be gained from hearing someone talk about their own experiences. It makes me reflect back on my own. So thank you for being wherever you are right now. You are exactly where you're supposed to be, in case you needed a reminder. And thank you to Sean, if you're listening, for showing up and being so honest and open, and your willingness to be the guinea pig. I am grateful for you. I appreciate you. All right, that's enough of me. Enjoy this conversation with Sean Rondello.
And how much is the ballot? I mean, I know it's not cheap, but it's not like cheap. $400.
A lot of seats, though. No, that's yeah. So you can, yeah. I just feel like people, like especially someone like Justin, or like I was saying, Sarah, like once they do Broadway and they see like the difference in the community and in the way that it just like functions, like yeah. They're like, I could do this.
Agreed. I think they get to like see a different type of celebrity that's probably really appealing, and that it's very like tangible. It's a smaller world, like Sarah Bareilles, who like has been a celebrity of sorts in her own right, like then comes into this world where like, I don't know if she gets to have there's a swagger to it, but it's the guard is down more 100%. Than like Hollywood or the music.
She can be her like more, she can be yeah. a more true version of herself, I'm sure.
Seems to be.
Because I feel like the pressure and the scale and scope of the thing is not as massive.
Right.
Hi Sean. We're already recording, so.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, there was good banter in there.
Yeah, it's easier to just like flow into
right,
it
and
than,
I didn't
like,
know.
Than, like,
so that's
have
good.
To like, you know.
Yeah,
what
that's
I mean?
True. No, there's no sort of.
But I appreciate you coming over. I appreciate you coming to hang out with us.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. Like I said, being at your apartment is always
on the east side.
The east side. It's a bit of a trek, but I liked the walk. Again, I was feeling very bloated from eating my dinner.
I think the east side of Manhattan is like, it's this like, it feels like Chicago. Like when we were in, did you feel that way when we, because we just went to Chicago, like.
Well, Chicago is much cleaner.
Yeah, Chicago is cleaner for sure.
Much cleaner?
There's no garbage on the streets because there's alleys.
Oh, that's true. There's
but it feels like, it feels like Chicago because there's like high buildings yeah. and it's not as busy as like Midtown.
Definitely. Yeah. I like it. I mean, I like it once I get over here. I just, again.
The schlep over here.
West
though.
Harlem to here is.
Rough.
Yeah.
I've had all this equipment for like what 9 months now, and I like just this is the first like I've done one other interview on the microphones mm-hmm. because I was like, well, I have to do it,
right?
But now I'm like, no, like this is like I just have to do it.
It's legit. No. It's exciting. I'm excited.
I'm excited. And I'm happy
that you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I knew we were talking about this before, but it's like if you know, there's. Nobody's gonna give me the thing. So if, if I want to be a radio host, if I want to talk to people and hang out with people like in this form, then like I just have to
do it. Yeah.
And now, I mean, that's what you're doing with your music.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. That's something the internet lets. It's sort of a catch 22 because you have almost, it seems, every opportunity so accessible now that it can be a little overwhelming, and also like. Very easy to procrastinate because it's like, well, it's so easy to like record an interview. I have the stuff. I could do that anytime.
Yeah.
Or like you can make music on your computer and it's like, Okay, well, anytime.
But... Yeah, but there's a level. And I think the thing that stresses me out is like, you know, there's a level of quality. So it's like I could record a movie on my phone if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But there's a certain level of quality that I want to achieve.
Same.
And that's where I feel like I get so fucking caught up because I'm like, yes, I'm like, you just have to do the thing with the things you have. But also at some point I'm like, no, actually, there has to be a certain level that I want to have it's like a quality thing.
That's so interesting. I completely agree, and I think it's another balancing act I feel like I'm doing because I think I've certainly romanticized the idea of the artist who like just pukes it out. Some of it's crap, but that's how you get to the good stuff, and you should be doing everything. But I don't. And now, though, social media being a part of the online thing, it's like the things you do, you really take ownership for under the umbrella of this is me in that digital reality. So I'm very like you are. I don't want to, I could record voice memos of songs and put them out every time I think of one, but I am drawn to trying to have finalized type products to put out.
Do you feel like it's because, like, obviously, like you've been able to grow a certain fan, a certain like a reach is what, yeah, I guess the way I uh-huh. should put it. But like even me, I don't have like that wide of a reach.
Right.
But when people choose to like follow me, like to me that's a trust thing, right? So they're saying, okay, I trust that like what you're gonna put out. At least that's the pressure I feel is that I'm like, okay, you know what? You've entrusted me, and you're saying like, you know what? I like what you do. I've liked what you put out in the past. And so I'm going to follow you because I'm trusting that whatever you put out, I'm going to find, you know, some sort of value from pleasure or joy, or I'm going to learn something. So that's the reason why I get so, I delete all the apps off my phone. My anxiety has gotten out of control with the apps.
It's weird. I mean, the whole phone constantly being connected to things is...
Oh, no, we're addicted.
I know, all of us are.
100%.
And it's coming up more and more to me, which I think is a good thing. There's like a... There is an instinct to talk about it. I've seen with like various
100%.
Friends. It's always like, wow, we use these, you know, and it varies from like jokingly to like some real self-helpy stuff. But it is... We now... The weird thing is I've thought about doing a cleanse or getting off. I've wanted to delete certain accounts just to minimize it. But one of the spookier things about it to me is I feel like as a world, we've gotten to a point where it is so a part of reality that now
it's
to
normal.
Not be on it is almost a detraction. You have to be willing to sacrifice or put yourself behind even in certain competitive aspects. Not being on there is not really an option anymore.
Well, I think it feels like silly to say, but like that's the addiction talking. Like that's the thing where like it's become so normalized now. And so because we don't know reality without, like we don't know the reality of not having it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, the thing I think is really interesting is, you know, I remember not having the internet.
I do too.
Like I remember it.
Yeah.
Like,
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay, I'm 25.
Okay, so like...
So I'm... Yeah, I felt like we had 7, 8-ish. I mean, I guess we had internet in the house by the time...
But I remember dial-up, and I remember having one computer in the house.
In the kitchen. It was always
in the kitchen.
Everyone had a computer
in the kitchen.
When you first got...
God, that's
and I,
so
I, you know,
weird.
Like, and trying to, like... And, like, sneaking and watching porn on your...
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? That whole, like, crazy
Ruining
thing.
Computers.
Oh, yeah, like, deleting
wire.
Search history, the whole thing. Oh, my God, downloading it's music.
Horrible things.
But I remember all of those things, and the generation sort of, you know, one below us, Gen Z or iGen or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah,
there is no understanding of the world without it.
Right.
Right.
Well, there is no world without it to them, and we can say that's good or bad, but it's the reality.
No, it
it's
is
scary.
Yeah, and I like the thing I'm now trying to figure out, and the reason why I've like deleted everything is because like I believe there is a balance. Like I believe that there is some way to balance, and I don't think it's the same for everybody.
Right, I agree.
But I'm like, I can figure out a balance for myself.
Uh-huh.
I just have to like take the time and do that.
Yeah.
And not have to feel the pressure of like, oh my God, I have to be posting or like everybody's going to forget about me.
I know.
It's like, for what?
Well, it's weird.
I think another point of view to help in like the way you guide that like addiction is what accounts you do follow.
Yeah.
100%.
And it can tell you a lot about where your psyche is at too. Like there are times I like Yeah, if I went through who I was following now in front of almost anyone, I think there'd be a few I'd be embarrassed of even. Because we followed different things for different reasons. Like you said, I think when that was so pure, honestly, like the people following you have, it's a trust in you. I think there's a certain segment of an audience that does that, and there are people I follow with that in mind.
Yeah.
And then there's some people I follow, like, why do I follow?
Well, I mean, this game, I mean, this is the whole... Yeah. Well, now they got the mute feature on Instagram, which, let me tell you, like, has been my best friend. Like, as soon as I see something that someone doesn't like... But then I'm like, why don't I just unfollow them? Like, why do I feel the need to, like... I don't want to see what they're posting, but I don't want to unfollow them because I don't want to deal with the, like,
I totally agree. You know what I mean? It's that's this, like, so weird
fucking thing.
I also, there's a part of me, I think, deep subconsciously, it's like, well, what, though, if I miss something, if I unfollow? Like, I still want to, like, have the option of seeing this content, ugly word, even if I don't want to see it. I'm, like, not going to, I agree.
You know what I mean?
It's the, and it's this weird etiquette and language that has evolved, and we all sort of understand it to varying degrees, but, like, we've learned that just by using it constantly. It is so weird.
There is a, I mean, I fall down the rabbit hole, you know, I 45 minutes of sitting watching Instagram stories, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
I know, and most of them I don't like, or most of them gives me bad feelings.
Right, so
envy, anger, judgment.
And even if it's a subconscious thing, I find myself, you know, 30, 45 minutes in, and I'm like, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good about myself, ever. Yeah. So, like, why am I... And that's why I, again, like, I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
I got it.
There's a way I can put content out that doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be that. Yeah. Like, I know how that makes me feel. Not that anyone's doing it to be malicious.
Right.
But I know how it makes me feel. But, like, I don't want to. And I guess I, you know, you can't really control the way that someone intakes it.
That's admirable. And I think it is possible to certainly minimize that. And also just your awareness of it.
You know, hyper awareness.
Well, and that's the thing. I know. It does cause so much anxiety, though. Because it's like you're always there, but you're never, I don't know.
I wonder if there's, like, if our generation is, like, just at this, like, we're at a heightened level of anxiety, and, like, we just all now think it's normal.
Right.
Like, we all just are like, oh, no, like, we're just, like, stressed out. Like,
I know.
We're just, and like, a little bit depressed, and, like, everybody sort of has it. Like, a wash of, like, the whole thing.
It does feel that way, and I guess that is sort of, I always feel better at least commiserating about it. Because, 100%. Like, well, yeah, everyone's feeling the same.
But you know, when I realized, like, my parents, like, had no idea what they were doing, like, raising me, like, I was like, oh, okay, so, like, you never know what you're doing?
That's true.
Oh, so, like, there's no moment of, like, oh, I got it now. Yeah. I understand life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that, like, it never goes away. Like, the thing of, like, what the fuck am I doing?
I agree. You reach sort of a mental place where I think, like, your idea of yourself and your identity matches your age and your appearance. And, like, but I think eventually, and my dad has mentioned this, like, sometimes he'll walk by the mirror and, like, old him is not the way he, like, default thinks of himself. You know what I mean?
Really interesting.
So I think our, like, identity gets to a certain place. And I agree, as I've crept towards the ages where, like, my parents had me, or where even I could see kids in my closer future.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, you do that. You don't reach a place and, like, knowledge is bestowed upon you. You're sort of like these weird, like, not kids anymore people.
Yeah, like, what is that?
It's very weird.
But it's because they don't train you. It's because they don't tell you that this is how it
That's
goes.
That's true. The education we get for life stuff is not, mine certainly wasn't.
To quote Friends, complete. So no one told you life was going to be this way. Like, that's the thing I keep going back to. I'm like, no one told me that this is what that it was going to be like. I was going to be like, what the hell is going on? Like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life?
I know.
I didn't know.
I know.
No, and especially, and listen, college definitely didn't prepare me for that.
Not theater college.
Well, especially that.
Theater college is like almost a regression.
Yeah, it's like, it's like you're going to be fine.
I know.
And they don't even say that outright, but it's just this, like, wash of...
You could really believe, like, most of us will be on Broadway. Or, like, a percentage of us, that is what happens.
I vividly remember...
So weird.
Like, being a senior in college and being like, oh, like, within, like, 4 years. Like, I'll do it. Like,
I know.
But, you know, it took me, like, 2 years in.
Yeah.
And having seen the other side of the industry...
Yeah.
From working at 54 Below and, like, just doing red carpets, that I was like, okay, first of all, there's no rhyme or reason for any of this shit. It's so fucking random.
Literally.
And, like, I cannot control. Like, I have literally no control. So for me to try to put
a number on it, be like, oh, within four.
Right, I know.
You can't predict.
You can't. You have to literally, like, get picked on a certain day by a certain person.
You have to hope that that person, like, you, the room we're walking into, the person doesn't have a stomach ache.
Right.
You don't look like their ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? There's so many fucking variables that you have no control over. And obviously, and, like, you know, people disagree with me on this one, but, like, I think that there is a certain, like, there is a certain level of skill where it's like, oh,
absolutely.
Either you know what I mean? Like, yes. Either you have a good enough voice or you do not.
Totally. I would agree for the most part. Yeah.
Of course people slip through the cracks.
Right.
Of course. Like, because they look, they're really, you know, they're
right.
really good looking
totally.
Or they know someone or they're an amazing dancer
yeah.
or they slept with someone. Like, who knows? That's
know.
Where we live in. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. It's interesting because I in any of the things that I have done or jobs I have gotten, what's interesting to me about what you just said and where my head went is like that slip through the cracks phenomenon. And it's an imposter syndrome type thing.
Well,
like,
that was my next question.
It's very hard to not feel like everything is a fluke because it almost is. Statistically, getting a job, so many people have to say yes to you. So many things have to go right that, like you said, you have no control over that I have yet to feel. And I know I deserve them. I believe in myself. It's not at all humble or deprecating. It's
no.
just more like there's other schmucks out there who could do the same thing.
100%.
You know, and I don't feel that doesn't threaten how special I feel. It just is like, oh, that's the real mind fuck of it when you get to be like, it's not about winning the part.
No.
It's like you go do your thing to prove you can do it. And if the other stars align and you get picked that day, maybe you get the job.
Maybe you get the job.
You have to get picked on three other days and then you get the job.
But the imposter syndrome does not go away.
I don't think so. I can't imagine unless, you know, maybe if you're Leonardo DiCaprio.
But I don't, I mean, I guess
then,
so, yeah,
but
I guess.
But still, there, it's not a...
But there, I mean, I at least from all the interviews that I've, like, listened to and things I've read, like, it doesn't go, I mean, yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, like,
yeah.
of older actors that have, you know, had long careers now,
mm-hmm.
and, like, they all say the same thing where it's like, no, you always feel like you're like,
right.
okay, this is like a fluke and like I just have to kind of show up and do the thing.
It's sort of, I mean, there's so many potentially glamorous things about it, but isn't it kind of sad that that's like a cooked in part
of
an artistic career?
Is it, but like, I will say like all that glamorous shit that I like thought it
yeah,
was
that's
like
true.
It's all faded away.
I know. Well, like, most of it's not real. You know, you go to a red carpet a couple times and you see, oh, like they just set up the cheap lights and backdrop and like, you know what I mean? Like in photos before you've seen the reality,
it looks like this.
It
like
warps your mind.
100%.
Yeah, and that's nothing. I don't know. And it's cool. It's a cool thing. But there's a sense even when you're there that you're like, it's not about being in that moment. It's about when the people will see that you were there.
It's so weird.
Thing.
But I feel like all of the things that I like, you know, even if I didn't even consciously know that I was like craving or looking for in like having any amount of success in the entertainment industry,
mm-hmm.
whether it was like having a trailer
yeah.
or like, you know, going
Got
to a red
it.
Carpet
yeah.
or like getting invited to things, having 10,000 followers, like
right.
all these things that were so like... I don't even, it's lost the like, the shimmer and the glitter now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we have friends that like have done Broadway, like, I know the gig.
Yes,
it's a job.
Exactly.
Like, do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's no, it doesn't mean I want to do it any less.
Right.
But all the things that I like was really like, I maybe not attached to, but like things that I thought were
yeah.
reality are just not, they're not true.
Yeah. It is weird. And it's like, yeah, it comes with the getting older thing too, where you start to just see it for what it is, and it's not a jadedness. It's like probably better that it isn't that amazing, or everyone would be addicted.
Oh, I think so.
I mean, everyone's addicted, I think, to the chase of that anyway.
Yeah.
America, social media is that.
Yeah.
All of us trying to be famous, whether we're in the entertainment business or not.
No, 100%.
It's very weird, and like that being
well, because now you know because you've seen it.
Right.
You are one video away from being Mason Ramsey and getting a recording deal in Atlantic.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You're one video away,
exactly.
One post away from going viral.
I know.
Where and even if it's like, well, no, actually, I don't really want that. Like, well, that's what the game of the internet has become.
It's so weird.
It's a very interesting time.
It is, and it's It can be overwhelming. Like, the anxiety thing to me, and like everybody saying that, I tend to believe people. It's a like very anxiety inducing thing because there's a constancy to it.
Yeah.
And it does. I mean, I would feel like the days where I, you know, sit around and do nothing, I would like probably feel lousy about that anyway. But now knowing the potential of like a minimal effort, I could be doing something.
Something.
But also, I don't know, but then...
Because we have this, we have reached this place where now we feel pressure to constantly be outputting. Yes. Constantly be putting stuff out, because if we're not, then people are going to forget about us. And if we're not, you know, if we don't post a picture today, then like, where were we? I mean, my mom said to me, and I love my mother.
Yeah.
But she was like, you know, you've been really quiet on social media lately, and I miss seeing you. And I was like, whoa, like now this has become a thing where now you, like, this is sort of the way that you connect with me.
Right.
Is by seeing like what I'm doing on social. And I'm like, and I went down this rabbit hole because I was like, that isn't real. Like, that isn't my, like, that isn't my real life. Like, at least me, like, I definitely am not showing everything that goes on in my life because my life is fucking boring. It's like, you know what I mean? It's not that, I mean, it's just not that exciting.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's always a sort of curated view. It is weird how my parents do the same thing. I mean, to the point where they watch stories now, you know what I mean?
100%.
Which is weird to think of.
I remember my mom downloaded Snapchat because she was like, I just want to see what's going on in your life. I'm far away from Snapchat now.
I'm done with Snapchat.
I have like
too.
that is a namaste.
While.
Like that's.
I was proud. I was able to let go of that account.
Were you a big Snapchat person?
I liked it. It just, you know, it wasn't any bigger than the others, but that one put me over the edge where I was just always on the phone then. Like, you know what I mean? It was enough with that. Now it's Twitter, Instagram, occasional Facebook, and like there's one of the cycles of my addiction is I put it down. With Snapchat, I felt I never put it down because it was just constant. Another like
I found like I delete like the 2 days after I deleted the apps, or I'll re-download them and then I'll delete them again.
Yeah.
I will pick up my phone and like go to open an app.
Yeah.
And I will be like, what am I doing?
Right.
Or have you ever done the thing where like you close an app and then you reopen it?
Yeah.
Because and you don't even know why.
Right.
You're like, I just closed.
You're
like, I just closed this. Like, why did my finger just like reopen this app? But it's because it's just I want to be on the phone. I want to be out of this reality, out of the real world.
And
I don't want to be
Yeah,
because this is way more comfortable.
I know. And it literally is another reality now. It is because, again, you have a version of yourself in there that other people's versions of themselves interact with. So that, you know, almost by definition would be a reality. It is the oddest thing where it's like, I don't know. And I don't know. I get to a dead end because I don't know if it's good or bad, but I know it makes me uneasy, so I think it is a little bad.
That's what I mean. I'm like, I have to look at the way it makes me feel.
Right.
Like, that's the only sort of gauge that I can have on the reality of being like, okay, what is it? How does this thing make me feel?
Yeah.
And if it doesn't make me feel good, then I'm like, why am I putting that in my life?
Right.
I want to talk about, so wait a second. You released an album a year ago.
Yes.
You're releasing music this week. Obviously, this is going to come out after the music is out.
Uh-huh.
But like, you're putting more music out.
Yes. Yeah, my music has always been super like hobby level for me. It's something I get to do fairly accessibly because my brother went to school for audio engineering, so he has the skills to sort of make it happen for me without me having to pay a huge premium.
Well, you don't have to learn the whole thing.
Exactly. And right. I mean, those technical skills and also just the commitment to learn that program is not
my God. It's crazy.
MO. But I'm excited, and this is like slightly different. The couple of songs that I'm releasing, they're far more sort of leaning into like pop and what's contemporary now. And it's really nice to do something with genuinely no sort of meta end game. Like, there is no like, well, maybe if I do this, you know, my music career. It really,
there's no.
I'm proud of myself for that.
I mean,
because,
that's amazing.
Like, right. And I'm ambitious about it. And if that were to happen, it'd be amazing. But I don't actively like.
You don't have an attachment to an outcome.
No. And I don't shake that tree either. I don't even like go through all the contacts who I think might be able to open a door. That's just not been...
You're not interested in the game.
I don't at all, I think.
I mean, that's amazing, though. But you would, like, you would... I mean, if you got to tour as a musician,
it'd be
is that something
incredibly
you
want
to
do? Okay, fun. Great. Yeah.
But
I mean,
it's not, like, something that you're, like, you're trying to play the game.
No, I don't think so. Again, it's a game just from where I've been lucky enough to get to in the actor game. I'm like, I can really only handle one
game. 100%.
Like, to really give to. I'll dabble in these things, but like, each is such a game.
Oh my God.
That it's like.
No, it is. I definitely like have looked at the you know, because I know people that have been able to build music careers mm-hmm. and are now touring and are
right.
opening for other bands.
Yeah,
and the grind and the hustle and the I mean, it is. It's like a whole other
exactly.
beast.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's a mountain. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. if I can. But it's amazing that you know you have the resources and also. Like, you feel comfortable enough just being like, I'm just going to, like, fucking put it out there.
Totally. Yeah. And it's nice to be able, like, with any of the things that you're doing, any sort of creative output feels good. And it feels more productive than not.
Do you like the process of writing?
I do. I really like writing.
Really?
Yeah. And I write very much for myself. I just, like, enjoy going and banging around and doing that.
More on keys or more on guitar?
I would say... Piano. I'm not super technical at it or guitar. Sort of self-taught on both, but I just
that's the best way though.
I agree. It's more feel, man.
Yeah.
You know.
But are you writing, you know, are you playing like chords or are you like figuring you're like, oh, these two things sound good nice together and I'm gonna move them this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean it's sort of it's chords. It's I don't know really how to describe it. I don't have some magical method.
Yeah, right.
It's more just sort of banging on there and sort of like fake little melody things while a voice memo is going and go back and listen to it. And if there's any sort of keepable bits or things that you
music
can build
first
a song
or
around.
Lyric normally.
Music first for me usually.
And then you let yourself just sort of flow in the music.
Or like one lyric and melodic idea that I'm like, okay, well I want to make a song.
Yeah, you want to build
around that. Yeah.
So what was this is more pop now.
Yeah. And this one has some co-writing on it, which I've not done before, which was really nice actually.
Really?
I really liked, you know, contributing to the creation of the music and lyrics, but also more of the responsibility being like the delivery and also just like the bigger picture, like sort of almost on a production side, none of the technical production, but just being
thank
like, well,
goodness.
This should sound, thank goodness.
Right.
Technical things, you know, are not, have never been my, I've been very creative in like very random spurts, OCD a little bit.
I feel that way.
You know, I wish I was more of a nose to the grindstone person.
No, the consistency is hard for me. Like mm-hmm. I've started like putting out YouTube videos in January for the last like 4 years. I'm like, I'm going to do this now.
Oh, I see.
And then like 3 months in, it's like, no, can't.
It's
like, can't
so
sustain.
Tough. YouTube is an interesting thing. And like, there's so many tendrils of it. But I did a YouTube Red show and met Anna Akana, a pretty big YouTuber. And Kimiko has done a YouTube Red show with Liza Koshy, enormous YouTuber.
Yeah, I mean.
So seeing...
Arguably, maybe the
one of the largest,
yeah,
most mainstream.
Three maybe now.
Yeah. She's amazing too. I've met her like 3 times and she just has
really?
Such star quality that I'm like, oh, now wonder when you like just filmed yourself for a Vine. Now wonder it like clicked.
Do you feel do you feel like she's genuine?
150%. Almost. Mean, she's got that like relatable but aspirational thing where it's like, oh, I could do what you're doing and yet there's something I'm like, I could never be you. Like you're, and it's,
that's
the magic mix where like people are like, you're like my best friend, but you have like a thing.
I mean, the YouTube thing is, the YouTube world is crazy.
And it is.
Especially in the last like year and a half, I've really gone in and like, it's just so, and the way that it's changing because it's now, I mean, it's the second largest search engine owned by the first largest search engine.
Right.
So it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is massive and arguably like young. I mean, I know young people are watching more YouTube than they're watching
television.
100%.
For sure. Yeah.
100%.
I know. I mean, I even watch, I YouTube such random things now, like whether it's like how to solve a certain problem or even like random stuff about a candy bar I ate and liked. You know what I mean? Like you can YouTube and get like an interactive Google results.
If you look through my YouTube history, like I don't think I want to show people.
I clear mine often. Truly.
You're like, I don't want to risk that shit.
Don't want to incriminate myself.
I am blown away
by the vastness of the thing. Like, are you a person that goes down like the musical theater rabbit holes?
Definitely. Yes.
Oh my God.
I mean, and I also have to, and I will admit this as vaguely as possible. Like, I certainly have like a like bitchy musical theater person dive to with a certain group of friends where it's like, let's watch these people's fucking videos, which is so awful. But like, then I remember it's just like, well, if I'm putting that energy out, like likely there's someone's doing it to me somewhere. And you know, what karmically I'm okay with that. Tease my videos too. Like, I'm gonna tease yours. It's really nothing personal.
It's all good.
It's for the night's enjoyment.
That's very funny.
You can make fun of mine.
Yeah, I did a YouTube dive of your channel today.
I haven't put much on there.
No, but what's on there is it's really rich.
It's varied and kind of old.
Yeah,
and
tell me about Rumored Alone.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, I'm proud of that because it's like, even in the thing, it's 11 years. Like, it's an old video.
And it's like the quality. I'm like, oh,
I know.
My God.
It was like, I don't even know what it was filmed on, but that was my middle school band, Rumored Alone. Essentially like a My Chemical Romance
is that the music you were listening to when you were that age?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I was an emo kid.
I was too.
I loved
like
my emo phase.
Oh my God,
still, not goth hardcore, but emo as fuck.
And I still like nostalgically dive back into like
the music's good. It's great. Yeah, it's really solid.
It's very well produced and it's very well written and the musicianship is pretty unbelievable. But how did you fall into the emo thing? Like what?
Yeah, I don't.
Were you a skater?
I was a bit of a skater. I was never that great at it, but I bounced around because I did play sports, so I was like friendly sort of with everyone in the school.
You were a floater.
I was a floater.
Same.
And I think like I was sort of drawn in by the band thing when I like kind of realized I could kind of sing in middle school, and that was a way for me to like, I don't know, get attention that way and be cool. And so I did that. And that was sort of my way into my back door into doing theater. I like didn't do theater until my junior year of high school when my band Rumored Alone broke up because one of the kids went to private high school. And then I was like,
oh damn, private
high
school.
I had nothing going on. And I was like, what do I do? And then I saw my school, public school, had this program with a bunch of other public schools.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
It is, where, like, half the day, if you were into, like, there, it was, like, a technical thing. So there was, like, building cars, there was agriculture,
right.
And then, weirdly, there was a performance practicum one, and 9 public schools would go get bused to this one public school where they sort of had a dedicated theater wing, and, like, so half the day, my junior and senior year, I didn't have to go to school. I didn't have to take math the last 2 years of high school, all these things. And like,
what?
For me, it was more about that.
Yeah,
so
of
I
course.
Was like, I've never done acting or any of this shit before.
Like, but I don't got to go to math and science. Like, I'll fucking do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
But so it was the band thing was the initial
performance.
Piece. Yeah, performance
thing.
That
yes.
You were like, and were you've won, how many, wait, how many siblings do you have? You have one older brother?
Yeah, a younger.
Younger brother.
He's like 6'3", too. Okay.
Was he always taller than you?
No, and I was definitely like kind of a bully older brother. So again, I think like karmically he got some Miracle Grow or something. But
you think the performance thing was like an attention? Like, do you think it was like that was the way that you were able to sort of like, you know, people liked you? Because I mm-hmm. find that was the big thing for me.
Definitely.
It was like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It was the way that I was like, oh, people were like, oh, I like you when you do, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, I like seeing you on stage. Or I like seeing you sing and perform. I mean, it was fun for me, but I know that that was a huge piece of it.
Definitely. I think that's like, you want to feel special in one way or another. And mm-hmm. if that sort of does it, then you will, I think, keep doing that.
I think it's like anybody who like is a performer or ever had the performing bone in them, like there had to be some sort of piece of like, look at me, look
Definitely.
At me. No, nobody got into it to be like, well, I don't want to be
seen. No, no, I know. Those are like the painters and stuff.
Do you find...
I always wish I was a painter, but...
You could be a painter.
I thought I could be a painter.
Were you a visual artist? Could you draw?
Not at all. And I've purchased like paint and canvas a couple of times.
I
just can't
I was a pretty good drawer. I mean, it's for me, the design came in with like Photoshop and, yeah, and okay. that kind of stuff. I love designing in that yeah, space.
That's cool.
The hand-drawn stuff was hard for me because I was so critical either. Of myself. Yeah. Oh, my God. I was just so mean to myself. It's like, those bubble letters are shit. Like, oh, horrible.
That's sad.
You know what I mean?
You deserve that.
Oh, my God. I'm my own worst critic. Like, yeah. What do you mean? I used to convince my teachers instead of doing essays, I'd be like, can I make a poster? Or like, can I do like some sort of physical project?
Yeah.
That was my way of not going to school.
Exactly.
My
you found a yeah, way right. out too.
I didn't have to take math my senior year because I knew. I was like, I'm going to school for perform. So when you you do this performing thing, were you like, I gotta go to school for musical theater now?
Sort of. It was pretty quick for me. And like one thing that was cool actually, like my hometown in Cleveland, it's Aurora. That's the name of the suburb I'm
we
from.
We love the Midwest. I'm from a Chicago suburb. So
okay,
like,
so
I
it's mine thing. Is like not the most sort of white suburb, typical Midwest, but it is in that direction.
Yeah.
But going to this consortium of multiple public schools, and this was the theater kids, I had a trans friend. I had gay friends in high school when coming from a school where
2008? Like what is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, truly.
I mean, that's crazy.
I almost had a collegiate social experience 2 years early because of that, because it was this mixing and it was just opened my mind exponentially to types of people I had not met before. And it's interesting, like my personality was so formed by those people and those experiences and my experiences in the theater world and everything that I can't even remember my personality before that. I like don't know how I even talked.
100%. I think a lot of us, probably most, our personalities are probably formed and meshed, especially during those years.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in high school. You're like, right. Who, I mean, I'm still asking who the hell I am right now, but in that time, you know what I mean?
You have no clue. You think you do. I think I remember thinking I knew what was going on back then.
And existing in that crazy hype, it's like this weird, like sort of, again, it's like the internet. It's like this other reality.
Right.
Of like, it's not the real world, but it feels like the stakes are so high and everything feels like full life or death. It was crazy time. Have you seen Eighth Grade?
No, and I want to.
We Did saw last week. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I have to see it.
I think, if anything, it just captures that feeling of, like being in eighth grade. I mean, obviously, it's different now with the internet.
Right.
But I think the anxiety of that and just being like, I have no idea. Like,
I'm glad we didn't have it at that level when I was in
that. We are so lucky.
Yeah.
I think about that constantly.
That would have really sucked.
I mean,
truly,
the anxiety I have now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like to have that in high school, It would have been.
Like, you were born with the feeling that you had to be connected. And
right.
Like you were born with that. There was no like, oh, now you suddenly have this, and like if you like it, you can go further into it, and if you don't, you know, no big deal. And,
exactly.
But
I can you imagine having Instagram in high school? Like I
right like
oh my God,
at 8, 9, and 10 even now as a kid, you're expected to have a personality like that generates content for these things. I didn't give a shit about anything.
I barely have a personality now.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'm like, what do I maybe like a picture of I don't know, I'm thinking Pokemon because you're shirt or something. But that's what I would have been posting it when I was 8. Like what the
right? I mean, and here's the thing. I think. So the positive side of it is that like it, you know, you get to have like you can build a business as a young person,
yes,
and you can say, oh, this is something I really care about and really believe in, and mm-hmm. I'm passionate about this, and I can like build a whole community and people. I mean, think about BroadwayCon exists because people now can connect over the fact that they all love Broadway.
Yeah.
You know,
that's incredible. Yeah.
But I see both sides of it. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well I would have been like a crazy theater I would have been a crazy theater Instagram kid.
Yeah.
100%. I would have been like watching all those videos
because
we didn't have access to people.
Right. I know. But it's almost like now we have too much, or at least it seems that way to me, because all the magic is gone of everything now. Even the most famous people are on Instagram.
It's gone for us, but is it gone? Because
maybe
still feel like I'll see people, you know, like that are, you know, hyper fans of a show,
mm-hmm.
and they see someone who like in the cast of a show at an event or some concert or something. And it's like, I mean,
that's true. There's still, yeah.
There's this disconnect of like, you know, I'm not worthy.
That's true. I mean, it's sort of impossible, I think, for me to imagine being in that phase of life again before being exposed to certain realities mm-hmm. that now have illuminated things to me. I guess if you're so used to it there's totally an argument to be made that like it's proliferated and normalized enough for the young people that like that's just their version of all the stuff we did, you know, yeah. playing the video games, yeah. watching the cartoons, yeah. like that's their version. And I don't know.
We were watching MTV.
Yes, yeah, exactly. TRL.
TRL.
That used to be a thing.
A huge thing. That was the whole thing.
I know.
See, that was because that was pop culture.
Right.
Was you went home and that, like, whatever happened on TRL that day, like, you went to school and that's what we were talking about the next day. I mean, we had AOL kind of, I think.
Yeah.
But, like, not to a point where it was like.
It wasn't like
I was still. Now. I remember doing group calls on the landline.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? I remember adding people on the landline to the group call.
I didn't do that.
I don't think I ever.
AOL early.
I did too, and I liked AIM. Yeah.
Well, that was the first. That was the beginning.
I know.
What was your screen?
You know what's weird? It was addicting even back then. There was something like, oh, this is cool.
I can change the background. I can change my outgoing message.
Away message.
Yeah. Some emo band quote or something.
Me too.
Some My Chemical Romance quote. But for sure, I mean, it definitely was this thing of like, you know, we were able to connect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I remember when I got a computer in my room, I was like, already addicted, like hardcore addicted.
Yeah.
But now I find like we were just talking about this before, but like, you know, I have mad anxiety when it comes to sharing anything.
Okay.
Do you feel like that with the music? Like, do you get stressed out about sharing the music?
Not so much the music. I think I feel that too. I think anyone who doesn't have or says they don't worry at all about how the things they share in anything will be perceived as lying. But
are you an anxious person?
I think so, but not in that way.
Okay.
Not in that sort of like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but when I almost went in the opposite direction where I'm like, I will just sort of establish that I post almost dumb crap sometimes and just leave it and lean into it. And I've given myself, I think, a bit of a safety blanket with some of it because it's like, well, I haven't established a nice, neat thing. And like, I also have the privilege of like, my work doesn't really depend on it. You know, the acting that I'm doing at least is like, I can't do certain things on there, you know, and I'm not going to do anything stupid anyway, post a bunch of guns or something. Right. I don't happen to have that issue. But aside from doing something like that, I don't really need to have a certain. There's nothing I need to accomplish with my social media presence.
You can be just a creative, like you can just be a person that's like, totally. Oh, I make things and I'm a creative
and follow
person.
Me or not. I really, you know, I used to really care a lot more about that, but then it's sort of like, it's me like you're one video away from viral, like acting like if the right job says yes to you, you're gonna get a million followers. It almost doesn't even matter anymore.
That's
you know what I mean?
Really interesting.
It's like. Does it really, what's the difference in like validation that you're going to, you know, I mean,
100%.
It'll be nice as it climbs and then it'll normalize.
Right. You know what I mean? So, you're going to get the dopamine hit from like the number going
totally.
Up, but at the end on the other side, like you're not going to feel any different about yourself.
And you shouldn't. It shouldn't be a quick fix pill for all of life's problems. That would be, you know, it's weird enough that it like is a pastime for us, but if it fixed everything, we'd be downloading our brains into it.
Do you follow friends? Like, do you follow friends from your childhood? Like, are you friends with your friends from childhood on social?
I have a few. I'm weirdly not very close with many of them, though. Of any friends pre that junior senior year of high school, because I was
that became the thing.
And I left my high school half the day, so I stopped being around those people as much as these people, and then I just sort of, I don't know,
we're jumping around. Did so wait, you okay, so you go to this, you do this high school thing,
yeah,
And you're like, okay, I'm going to go to school for musical theater.
Yeah.
Did you audition in a lot of places?
Yeah, I think like 7 or 8.
Okay, like that's a lot. I mean,
it was enough.
I auditioned at 14, okay, but 7 is still a lot.
I had like 14 on the list and like quickly got rid of any with a pre-screen. Truly.
And like
you know, I am a non-dancer. I did my share of dance calls, which were like
horrible.
I got into BOCO somehow.
You
as
got
a
into BOCO?
As a non-mover.
Let me tell you something.
No.
I walked out of my BOCO dance call.
Yeah.
And my mom said to me, "Well, you're not going there."
and
somehow I slipped through.
We see, in that case, we slipped through the cracks. Yeah, but I did the audition process and like it was down to Ithaca or BOCO for me, and Ithaca, like, financial aid was better. So, and also,
you're so smart.
From Cleveland, Ben Fankhauser went there, and he was, like, in our youth theater world, so that was a bit
you're
of
like,
a
like, okay, I know, I have, there's a familiarity. Yeah.
Totally, and that was when Newsies was, like, popping, so it was like...
Everybody loves Ben Fankhauser.
Right, exactly.
You didn't finish school.
No.
I didn't know that.
I went
today.
For a year, left once, and did a non-equity, like... traveling fucking children's tour
of what
of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, kind of a cool musical actually, not Big River, the other one, but
non-ec,
not as non-ec as it can get. I was so miserable.
How did you like, where did you audition for
that? I think it was on Backstage. I at first year of Ithaca, this is like my 2 years doing theater, so I don't know what I
right.
think I know. I was just like very antsy, like I want to do this thing, blah blah blah. So I would want to audition, and I would come into the city and try to audition for things, even just fucking open calls,
right?
Driving from Ithaca some days, like getting up
you
at
were
5
fucking
a.m.
gung-ho
there.
About this
it was
shit.
So stupid looking back. Not, yeah, I don't know why though, but anyway, did that. So I got that tour after my freshman year. Went and did it, ended up leaving the tour, being like, I can't do this anymore.
Were you like for sure, you were like, I'm definitely going to go on this. Like, I knew, I
yes. Oh, yeah. No thought even. I'm okay. Like, yes, I want to not go to school. Here gives me a reason.
Great.
And not for any reason. I just didn't.
No, you wanted to be out.
Exactly.
Out of school.
I wanted
it.
To, like, do the thing.
Right.
So that didn't work out. And
so
then
you
I
left
went,
the tour.
Yes. Went to, like, some, like, general studies at Kent State, which is near my house,
yep.
for the remaining semester of that year, and then went back to Ithaca because I had taken a leave of absence. So I didn't give up my spot in the
class.
School, thankfully,
yeah, right.
which is so crucial because, like, that is the foundation of my social life and everything.
Really?
So I'm very happy I went back. And that second year of college... My, like, super sophomore year was, like, a very formative year for me. I just had a great year personally and intrapersonally and just went
were
from...
Were you with your class or were you with the...
Below now.
Interesting.
So 1 year below the class I had gone into freshman year with, which I thought would be weird, but that initial class I was with didn't have a lot of people in it, didn't have a lot of boys. And so this new class had a lot of boys, a lot of whom
you vibe
are my...
You vibe with them way more.
It worked.
Yeah.
And I was still friends with them and knew everybody,
yeah.
so...
That's lucky.
It was. And it was very fun. And then after that year in the summer, I got Spring Awakening, the workshop version
in
L.A.
Right.
So I just took... Instead of going to London, I'm like, I'm going to go to L.A. for this semester. I'll do
you
it.
You were
going to
go abroad.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I just replaced the time and... Didn't think I'd go back to Ithaca, but I was
yeah.
like, I'll leave that door open because this has happened once before.
Right.
But then I moved to LA and that sort of got things going for me.
Did you book a first TV gig after that or was it after you guys came to Broadway?
It was while I was in LA rehearsing Spring Awakening, I got an agent. That was the major win of mine and that was my goal. I like sort of played the... Bit of a, you know, IMDb pro game and Instagram game and got in touch with an agent and managed to get a face-to-face. And he suggested I go to a workshop with a casting director, which we all, you know, but I was like, hey, tell the agent you liked me if you did. And I clicked with that casting director and that I got a job pretty quickly after I moved out there for a couple episodes on a thing, which was a big win for me because then I had an agent
right.
who wanted to... And at that point, I was at least in the system of like, okay, now I'm auditioning for real.
Right. And you had a credit on your resume.
Totally. And yeah. And SAG
which,
and
yeah.
and TV. Yeah. It's like getting the first few is like the impossibility.
So when you came to New York, were you like, well, I guess I can keep doing the TV thing in New York.
Yeah. I mean, I am
you came
not,
to New York for the show?
Yeah. For Spring Awake. Well, actually, so we did the workshop in the fall. We did an equity production in Beverly Hills in... spring 2015.
Yep.
Then Kimiko, who I had met that spring and had been living with and at this point was now dating, was coming back here to do Orange mm-hmm. in the summer. And I was like, well, I'll come live with you for a while. Our lease is up here. Moved here. Didn't really know what I was going to do. I think I went to like the Nymph auditions or something. Literally. And
yeah.
I just didn't know. I'm like, the summer, I guess I could do that. And like, no money at that point. It was like, that was the end of my parents paying my rent while I was in my school year that I had taken. And now reality was setting in. And I, 5 days after moving here, they told us Spring Awakening was coming. We didn't know. There was like, at that point, it was still like, it might not ever happen. Right.
It was never for sure.
It was never supposed to, really.
Right.
So that was a huge.
You were like, I'm like, literally,
I just got the best life jacket to the beginning of life in New York. I mean, and life in the acting thing.
I mean, you can't plan for that shit.
No, you can't. And it's, again, I'm so proud I did it and had the skills I needed to do it. But it is not even like my special talent earned me. That was right place, right time. And like willingness to audition via YouTube video for the initial workshop and leave school for it. So I give myself the most credit for that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll leave school and go do this. That was when I earned that. It was not like I'm the best.
Right.
So it is a weird thing. And like, that's somewhat freeing because it takes some pressure off. Like, I need to perform my absolute best, but it's also daunting because then it's like even fewer things you have control over, like you were saying.
So when you find out it's coming to Broadway, I mean, was this like the dream come true?
Yes.
You're like, this is the thing. This is probably what I've waited for my whole life.
Probably the happiest I've ever been was that, like, that summer, 2015, and then opening the show. Because it was 20 people's Broadway debut. It was a scrappy little, like, death production. It was even something artistically that, like, didn't give a lot of people too much room to hate on it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, I don't know.
I mean, it was a great production.
Perfect storm.
I mean, it was great.
Yeah, I got to play an instrument and like kind of got to do my own. There was very little pressure on me because I was sort of shadowy, but like got to like.
But you got to sing. Do and you my got to thing. Play.
Totally. It was. I couldn't have asked for it to be any different or better, that initial experience.
Did that experience sort of like, you know, is that what sort of started like wear down the shine of the whole thing? Where like, cause I mean, booking a Broadway show again would be wonderful,
mm-hmm.
but that initial first of like, oh my God, this is Broadway. Like mm-hmm. this is my dream come true. And then the reality of, you know, doing a run and doing the thing.
Yeah. I think interestingly, like Broadway is special. I still think Broadway is the closest to the real magic
100%.
Because it's like, we're actually in this room. We're actually doing it. Like, I remember the Gypsy Run or before the Invited Dress, whatever it is when the industry people come, was like, wow, people are about to watch us do this. Like, we're literally kids who were doing it. Like, is it good enough? Is this Broadway?
Right.
What are we about to do? So that is pretty magic. But I would say it's a combination of, like, the events surrounding it, meeting more and more of these people who are heroes. I mean, you meet everyone. So you've met people who, like, I'm sure, you know, and you learn to control it, but you're fangirling inside, but you start to see like person.
Human.
Right,
human.
Standing in this theater like we've all been to a million times. That and also like Kimiko's success.
Well, I was going to say.
Exposed me to a lot.
Yeah, has that been like, what, like, tell me what that has been like? Because I can only imagine. I mean, obviously you've had success in television, but
that's a hit.
But
right.
But that whole world, I mean, I'm sure. Because obviously Broadway is one thing. I'm of course, the entertainment industry at large, I'm sure, is sort of just similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one little piece
right.
of it.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine the exposure, you know, to the reality of that industry or the community of that industry. I mean, would you have gotten that otherwise? You know what
and
I mean?
No, I don't think you can. And it's so hyper valuable in so many ways. One, that it just got me really comfortable with like, being a part of it, or even just walking around like I knew it wasn't a big mystery. I think it took a layer of green off of me, even intrapersonally, that I am very grateful for. And then
that's a big piece of it.
It is, because your energy, like when you're going to be hired for these jobs and these chunks of money that either a network's going to give to you, it's a responsibility. Like that's where, like, you know, experience shows, but also just like a feeling of experience.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You show up and you're like, oh no, I know what this is.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. And also, you know, you can't control this, but Kimiko happens to be like so incredibly down to earth and real as a human. Like she,
yeah, but that's a reflection on you too. That's the reason why the two of you are together.
I guess so. I'll give myself that. Clearly, like, she has good senses and isn't a bullshitter and wouldn't be with me if she didn't. So I'm awesome, proven by Kimiko. But seeing her, like, achieve that level of thing that it had seemed just ridiculous to me months before.
Like, it feels untouchable right. to a certain
Truly,
extent.
I mean, yeah, awards and free things and this and all these jobs and offers and constantly working and making money as an actor.
Yeah.
Seeing that and seeing a person remain a person and like be my person and see her friends are normal people, that was so...
That's really valuable.
It's weird now to even articulate it because it's like, oh, that... I am indebted to that for a lot of my like... I think I got to skip a couple of times. I probably would have put my foot in my mouth or just would have seemed a little amateurish thanks to that exposure.
I mean, I think that's a huge piece of, you know, people moving to the city or pursuing any career in this or actually probably any career that like there is a huge piece of it that's about having a feeling of even if you don't feel like you belong, it's like, no, I
put
know
out
this
that
thing.
You do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know that like when you walk in a room, you're like, oh, no, I'm like, I'm meant to be here.
Totally.
Like, even if you're like, what the fuck am I doing here?
It's so weird. That's sometimes more important than like, how good are you going to act this scene? You know what I mean? Because some of it too is like, especially like TV auditions or acting only auditions where it's far less objective than like, will you hit the note at the end? It's like you're
that's
mumbling
really
some lines in a closet, like, and they're going to pick you based on like the feeling you leave and the way you look and the way you present yourself. It's very... It's impersonal in a way that I like.
It's like not really about you.
Exactly. Which can seem when things aren't falling your way, like I'm doomed. Like right. I have no control and I'm just like, someone pick me. But then when someone picks you, it's like, what did I do to get picked? Like, all right, great. I'll go do this.
Do you like the TV gigs?
I do. I mean, I don't like doing it as much as theater because theater is so fun.
Yeah, well, being in the room with people
exactly.
and playing and yeah, of course.
You know, and Rise was actually really fun in that way as it wore on because like it's very rare the whole cast or a large chunk of it is called every day for long stretches of time. Like, we got to hang out and socialize.
And you were doing Spring Awakening again.
Oh,
LOL.
My God. I know. I can't escape. I'll take the employment.
Right.
Like, I'll be the adult female soon in that show. But it is weird. It's really weird.
It just keeps looping back around.
I know. It's so good, though. Spring Awakening is so good.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have a theory behind why you book all these gay characters on television?
I mean, I am not Mr. Macho Man when I walk in a room, so that's one theory.
Well, yeah,
no,
sure.
I just think naturally I'm...
But do you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do. You know what's weird, and especially, like, just given the current climate of everything now, it's like, there are certain ethical questions that flare up, depending on...
Well, that was my next question.
Depending on sort of the subject matter, I have passed on things that are, like... very, very focused on like a coming out story or experiences like that that I don't feel I have had.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel I can possibly relate to because that's not my identity.
Wow.
However, the gay characters that I've done that are mostly high school, mostly about like a young connection between young people.
That's what, yeah.
I just feel sexuality is fluid that way. And without saying that I also would never, I feel like everyone comes out as something now. And like, I would be so out if I was anything. Because I've been like, well, maybe I'm this or maybe, and there's new words. And I like, I can feel myself
exactly what you're saying.
It's like, so I would never want to like,
like, I'm this.
Right. I don't want to say it in a way that I'm, even though trying to, like, say I have one of those identities.
Yes.
I don't. But I do feel that I can connect with male beauty and male thing enough to be like, well, I've been young and like fumblingly sexually exploring and love and all of those. So that is sort of my feeling about that. Why I book it. It's like, I don't really care why I book anything. Literally. Like, I don't know why, right. And I don't ask questions.
You're like, I just go in the room and
they
do
could
it.
Have picked the wrong name Has from it, the fucking did, file.
Was there any amount of uncomfortability in doing it?
Never in like the physically doing it. Right. I think anytime someone online has expressed a problem with it or something, I do have, that makes me uncomfortable, obviously, because I don't wholly disagree. Yeah. However, I do think there has to be room for, in acting especially, for like, I would want a gay man to play a straight character. And while I know that just percentage wise, there are, you know, there's minorities and majorities. And I think representation is super important. And, you know, like the Scarlett Johansson thing, that is, that's egregious. And that is different. Mm-hmm. I think and maybe I'm wrong.
I do too. And I definitely think it's personal. I think like each person has their own opinion about it. I agree with you in that. I think, being conscious and aware of it is like the first and foremost, the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But second, like last night I was at the opening of Straight White Men, which is written by an Asian woman.
Right, yeah.
And I said to her, I said, why? I go, you know, obviously you're in this category. I'm like, but how do you feel about people writing for a person or portraying a person that is not like of themselves, that, that doesn't, you know, is not, hasn't had that experience?
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I think as long as you're open and you're asking questions and you're asking the right questions and there's an intention and there's a reason why you're exploring that thing, I think it's totally valuable. Mm-hmm. But it's not like a black and white thing.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
I think so too. And I mean, yeah, and what you're exposed to, I mean, like so many of my friends are gay. My life in the theater has been dominated by like that community. And I, while not sort of a member of the community down to certain categories, you know, I have not lived that experience. I would never claim to, but I feel like I'm a part of a community of gay men. You know what I mean? Part of my community is a community. I don't know. It's so it's tricky. And I think ideally we're moving towards where those lines needn't be defined all the time 100%. Because we're all kind of everything. And obviously that's utopian, but I don't know. I could not imagine divorcing my even idea of myself from the influence that gay men and gay culture in general has
queer
had on
culture,
me.
Yeah.
Queer culture. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And that's so beautiful that I feel like
it is beautiful,
deeply affected and like defined by that.
Yeah.
Which is not my, I don't know, it's not my identity, but like in many ways that's my culture. Yeah. I attach to that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's so valuable. I think we're definitely approaching a place now where it is queer, everything is queer.
I think so. I mean,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the definitions of words change and I think it's good they evolve. So I don't know even what I feel comfortable saying, but like I'm queer in certain ways. The way I act and see the world is queer in certain ways. I feel like comfortable signing my name to that.
I was having a conversation with somebody and I said the exact same thing. I said, you know, I have never felt like I could put a label on myself. There wasn't ever one of those words that resonated with me in a way where I was like, oh, that feels like I can say that I'm like, that aligns with me.
Yeah.
Until queer. And I'm like, you know what?
Interesting. Yeah.
Now I'm like, that's a word that I feel aligned with. And that feels like, oh yeah, I'm a queer person.
Yeah. And
do you know what I
mean? See, and that is, I think that's the good side of the evolving language.
Yeah.
And the whole evolving conversation about it is that, I don't know.
You don't have to be one thing.
Right. Because no one really, I don't think anyone is. We're all multitudes. We're all like a list of different things, sexuality and otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, you know, it goes back to the thing we were talking about before, but like, you know, you don't have to be just an actor. You don't have to be just you don't have to be one thing anymore. Like we live in a world now where you can be a multi-hyphenate. And I mean, you look at some of the most, people that I admire, like someone like Donald Glover, you know,
this guy
is, what does he not do?
Exactly. And that's like, that's the entertainment business if you get it right, I think, because then you're creating on so many different levels.
And
you're
facilitating. It's like, oh, this is just a creative person.
Totally. Yeah.
That, I mean, that's,
and you get
for
to make your
goal.
Money that way. Like,
what a gift.
I agree. It, whether it's ever humongous sums for me is totally not important. If I make my income creatively, that's a blessed and privileged existence to have.
1,000%.
You know what I mean? That's,
and if you can, I mean, because it's not about having a certain amount of capital.
Totally.
It's being able to support yourself and your family mm-hmm. and the lifestyle that you want.
Right.
By doing creative work. I mean, that
that's
is
a dream.
That's
yeah,
the dream. That's the whole thing.
Totally.
I mean, that's, and I think, you know, there was definitely a period of my life where I felt like, oh, I, you know, just, it's tunnel vision.
Definitely.
We all, I think, start with this, you know, amount of tunnel vision. And I don't necessarily think the colleges help with that very much.
No.
Because, you know, people move to the city and they're like, this is the, I'm an actor. That's yeah. what I do. I'm musical theater. That's the thing I like.
I wake up, I go to the auditions. If I'm in the union, I go to the EPAs. Yeah, I know.
I'm like, but if we're talking about creative fulfillment here. Yeah. Like, there is so many avenues. There are so many ways
mm-hmm.
to do it. And it doesn't mean that it will fulfill you in the same way. Right. Different things are going to do different things.
Totally.
It doesn't devalue that thing at all.
Right.
It's just to say there are so many avenues and there are so many options.
Yeah.
That, like, to not explore them feels, to me, it feels ridiculous.
Yeah. I would agree. And it's also like, you know, there's ebbs and flows in all of them. Mm-hmm. So when they're not calling back in the one, you can sort of be hamstringed completely by that, or you can, like, do one of the other ones.
Even people that are in, I've found now, like, there are so many people that are in Broadway shows that have side hustles.
Yeah.
That run a business or a podcast yeah. or something other than the one gig.
Yeah.
Because we, as I think, we just, like, need that as humans.
Totally.
We need, like, we just want to dip, you know, we want to mix up our lives, especially as creative people.
Yeah. Well, and that's something you have control over, and it just will increase your chances at longevity. I really think, given all of the, like, sort of lightning in a bottle we talked about and being chosen on the right day, like, a huge part of finding any sort of success, I think, in any of these businesses where it's entertainment and it's you auditioning or submitting for things is just staying in the game until statistics work out in your favor and you've done enough of them that the right one just has to come up by yes. Murphy's Law.
Yes.
And it's like, if doing the podcast right now, if doing the music right now for me gets us through this summer without us being completely depressed if the acting isn't there, and that keeps us creatively yep. engaged at all, that is a successful
part of
life.
And in the long game, I'm like, there's no downside to me like putting out music. There's
right.
no downside.
Exactly.
Because it could lead to it.
Exactly.
You have no
totally.
Idea
mm-hmm.
what things are going to click and what things are going to sort of lead to other things. There's
yeah.
just no way to predict. And that's like what the first thing you said is like, it's something that's in your control.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, actually, like, there are so many things in the entertainment industry and in just the creative fields that I can't control, you
right.
know, clients or whatever, yeah. or jobs you book or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You just, it's not really in your hands, and there are so many things that can be in your hands. And I think I see so many people who just have completely given up the idea that they have any amount of control.
Yeah.
The control is like, well, I wake up and do the thing.
Right.
Which, like, okay, I'll give that to you.
Power to you, right.
But also, like, what, tell me the active thing.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, yeah, and that's another thing that makes acting more specifically difficult, and I think makes the need for a side hustle real. Like, there are days you can't actively do something that will further your acting career.
No.
There are more days that than otherwise.
100%.
So it's like, what are you going to fill those hours with? Like, I don't know. At this point, I don't have to have a job for income right now. But
blessing.
That's a blessing. But it's also weird. I have no shape to my time in a way that if I didn't have music and longer term projects mm-hmm. that, like, forced me to at least keep
work
trudging
on some,
forward,
work on something.
I could see any number of things happening, and, you know, nothing dramatic, but it's just idle hands. You got to be busy.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially
too.
As a creative person.
Totally.
Like, it just to keep the juju flowing,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You have to.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to fall into the, like, state of numbness and, like,
totally.
What am I doing?
I know.
Like, I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To lay in bed all day and be like, well, I could just, like, watch Netflix
right.
or watch YouTube all day.
Yep, nothing to do today.
No.
Yeah,
but to have something long-term or some sort of thing going on, it's just, it's like, I think it's necessary.
I would agree.
Do you want to be doing more theater? Do you want to be, is that like sort of the,
I mean, yeah, I love theater. I think my,
that's the first love.
It is. And my skill set is interesting. Again, zero dance. And like,
I'm the same as you.
Yeah. You know, so you get it, which is limiting somewhat. I mean, I'd love to do plays. I'd love to do all those things. I think I can see myself having a nice career in that when I'm like a dad. I want to play all the Sondheim dads and like older male part. Like, yeah. I think that is cool. And, you know, Broadway is really beautiful in that way that like almost more becomes available to you as you get older.
I think so too.
A certain respect, yeah. You know? So I would obviously love to, I would love to do any bit. I truly feel like if someone wants to cast me in their play, musical, TV show, film,
you're like, I'll be here for the job.
Literally.
Right.
Like it, as long as it's something that again is not, although I did this like King Cobra thing about gay porn. So I guess I've like gone pretty close to like the edge. But as long as it's not something like ridiculous or just like without any merit, I'm down to do it because I think it's a blessing to be doing that.
Yeah, it is.
And it, again, it's like if something of any of ours pops on a level that it becomes our defining thing, at that moment we can worry about consistency of our brand or this, that, the, until then, that to me is just posturing that limits you. It's like, you don't have a brand. You're not well known enough to even bother doing that.
You don't feel that way about, you don't even feel that way about yourself at all.
I don't. I mean, I think if I started,
I think that's amazing.
I really don't. If I started posting like ridiculous sort of inflammatory things, I think that would be odd. But I have just like, that's, how can I be defined at this point in a way that I think I have to
hold up a certain thing?
Yeah, when it's like, no one really gives a shit yet. And I have followers, but they don't, not on a level that, I don't know. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. It's interesting just because I think about people that are in school and I think they see sort of like look at the amount of success you had or the opportunities that you've had or the things you've done. And I think at that point people would be like, well, you know, I'm like, this is the thing now.
Yeah.
And I think it's so remarkable that you're like, no.
I thought I had to do that. And then I realized like that was not where I felt best inside me. And it also wasn't where any of my success was coming from. All of it was the things that I was far less sort of artificially invested in and more able to just like exhale on, especially for the TV type audition.
I love the way you phrased that.
Just being not high strung about something instantly puts you in a different class, I think, at auditions. Because everyone's in there to do their best.
And it's a tension.
And you can't be lazy and like apathetic.
No, you got to do the work.
But if you're relaxed and just, I'm going to do my thing.
At ease.
Yes. That, I think that is like, that to me is like, you're going to get a call back if you do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you're going to be outside of the people who are strung up about it.
And you're going to be an honest version of yourself.
Exactly.
You're going to be like a more,
can't go wrong.
Right. You're going to be a true thing. And then if you don't, if you don't hear back, you don't get it, then
you don't care.
Right. You're like, okay, whatever.
You really
you don't.
Don't
care. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. Well, that like wasn't for me. No, thanks. I just think, you know, we're just the multi-hyphenate thing. That's where we're at. I mean, more and more people, that's what I think are going to be doing.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason why you have to pick just one.
Agreed. And it's like gig economy. That whole thing happening with, you know, you can Uber, you can deliver for that. Like, that is the same. That mindset works. And that type of economy does work if you're willing to do it in the entertainment industry.
And the amount of content that's coming out now because of YouTube and all the streaming platforms, it's only going to increase.
I know.
Like the opportunity, there's only going to be more opportunities.
Totally. I mean, I feel like TV-wise, like anytime I talk to graduating classes from Ithaca or something like that, or even go back to my performing arts high school and just talk to anyone who I feel is coming up in the business, it's like the TV stuff, the streaming stuff, all of that, the amount of jobs, just numbers-wise, is huge. There's more jobs there than Broadway. Think about Broadway. There's 40 Broadway theaters.
Right.
If everyone had a show going on and everyone had 10 actors in it, even that, that's only
even
400
that.
Actors on Broadway in the world ever. That's a very narrow thing, and it's a great goal, and everyone should want to do it, and, it was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, look at the other stuff, too, and look where you can do jobs – gigs for things even, and just get your feet wet, you know, creating things or doing music. I encourage everyone to like pick up an instrument or do something. You know what I mean? Any additional sort of skills you could possibly offer to something are going to.
Well, I think, you know, the question I ask when I go to schools is I'm like, why did you come to school for musical theater? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because I want to be on Broadway. Okay, well, why?
Right.
Well, because it's a thing I've always wanted. Okay, why?
Yeah.
Well, because it's something creative and I get to work with people that I've always wanted to work with. And then we start going down that hole where it's like, oh, there's actual reasons why you want to do this. And then I'm like, you know that you can do all of those things. You can work with people that you admire. You can be creatively outputting. You can make your, you can make a living doing creative work. You can act. You can write. All the things that you like really wanted to be doing, you can do in other places.
It's not just that. No. Yeah. I know. And it's so hard to like feel that, I think. I'm sure at that point in your life and like,
oh, I don't think I could have. I 100% couldn't have taken that advice.
But if it's even planted there to come out in 2 years, because moving here, I feel like is really hard. Moving to LA was hard-ish, but I was at least doing a show. I had friends in the show. We made no money. They gave us $20 after the show. So it wasn't that, but I had friends. I had a purpose.
Yeah.
But moving to any of the cities without that, I can't imagine.
Like, no guarantee.
Right. And there just is none. And you realize it's like you're playing for keeps now. You're out of college. Like, the
real thing.
The thing that's been popping up in my head lately is like this idea of what value do I bring? Like, why am I worth, you know, the most basic way to think of it. Why am I worth the salary this will pay
right,
me?
X amount.
Right, but why, other than that, more even sort of generally, like what artistically can I add? What can I, and thinking about that and defining that for yourself in a realistic way is actually really empowering. I like that because it's like, no, you can't do it all, but you really can do some stuff.
Yes.
And that's fabulous.
Yeah, I love the idea of yeah, you got to figure yourself out in the city. You need to figure out who you are in New York before worrying about all the other shit.
I know.
Because the auditioning and the job, like that can get, you can get caught up in that real easy.
Yeah.
But who are you in New York?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like how do you, like, you know what I mean? I mean, for me, the barrier of like, how do I use the subway? Like conquering that for me, which is like still a process, but like it, that was scary. Like that was hard for me. Like that was like to know where I needed to go and get off and how much time it was going to take me to get to one. Like those are things that like I had literally no idea how to do. And people could tell me.
Right. But until you do them and do them after a couple drinks or do them after a long day when you're in a terrible mood.
Yep.
Yeah, and learn how to,
or it's hot, or it's snowing. You know what I mean? Like, you have to just have the experience of doing that.
And I think it's so awesome.
It is.
New York's awesome.
It is. I mean, did you, I used to dream about living in New York.
Me too. As soon as, I mean, really it was theater again. I can't remember a lot of my dreams before that. But the idea of it here, and anytime I would visit, which was, you know, not very often. I never saw, my first Broadway show was Lysistrata Jones. Like I saw a few tours, but my first Broadway show.
Does Alex Wise love that fact?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I know. We're from nearby in Cleveland too, him and I. And he was another one that was like one of our sort of successful graduates of that program. Yeah. So he's awesome.
No, but New York is, I mean, listen, New York definitely has a magic to it.
Yeah, it does. And it takes a while. It has a misery to it, too. Still. I mean, I was sort of miserable coming over here. It was really hot.
This is a very weird non sequitur, but I promise them it's going to get to the point.
Yeah.
So Sam and I have been watching Wild Wild Country on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this documentary. We just finished it.
I've seen some of it with Kimiko. She loves that
show. Oh, my God. This shit
and
is
so
crazy.
And so do I. But
anyway, so in, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole story of this thing. But the one thing that we both sort of took away last night, we were sitting here talking about, because it's about the people in the thing. It's really, what it really is about is the human beings.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's just so brilliant. Because it's like, it's about the story, but really it's about these like six people that they're interviewing the whole time.
Totally.
And, you know, they're, we were like, well, you know, they did this good thing, but this horrible bad thing. And this, and all of a sudden we kind of came to this point where like, there is no black or white. Like everybody has both.
Right.
Everybody has the dark. Everybody has the light.
Yeah.
And I think it's similar, with, like you said, with the city, where the city has the magic, but it also has the misery.
It does.
Also, what all those people were doing was trying to find a place where they belong, and that's like truly what New York is.
That's
like,
true.
Well, that is New York.
Just a place where anyone can belong.
Yeah.
And everybody here is a transplant. I mean, there's some people from New York, but even those people were transplants here.
Right. It is weird. It's like everyone can find their place to belong because no one has like legitimate ownership over it in a beautiful way, you know? And like very few of the people I know are wealthy enough to have any ownership over any of it because it's so prohibitively expensive.
I love the idea that like, you know, New York is a work in progress.
Yeah,
always.
It is.
And there's always construction. There's all like, it's just always going. You know what I mean?
It is. And like just the theater being here, like, theater's still magic because, like,
it is.
It almost shouldn't still be going on. It's amazing we still do that.
It's crazy.
It's so not modern and it's so expensive for what it is, but, like, there's still people out there doing it. And I'm not saying I think it should stay that expensive, but, like, the fact it's still a booming business and billions of dollars change hand doing it, that's like, that heartens me. Like, our society has that. Yeah. We care about it.
We care about having collective experiences.
Yes, we do.
Like, I think, because I even see it in concerts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Where huge stadiums of people are going to go see a person.
So true.
You know?
Yeah.
And they are able to, like, feel this out-of-body thing, this shared collective experience. Like, we do crave that.
Totally.
Like, I don't care, like, what you say about the fucking internet, but, like, we, as human beings, we crave the, like, coming togetherness of that.
Totally.
Or at least, I should say, even if we don't crave it, when we do it, it feels so good.
Our brains. Well, that's, like, the small version of that is, like, you guys watching the show together and then getting to talk about it. You know, Kimiko and I watching our stuff together, like, the idea of you guys watching that and then talking about stuff, like, really, like, that is such a simple pleasure that, like, I love with Kimiko. I love it about living with my significant other. It's like we get to like shared experience even in our home, even just watching dumb television.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm all about the gratitude. So I'm here for like the being grateful for the little things. I mean, it's true. It's true.
It's sweet.
This is not to shit on social media even more, but you know, we can do this.
Yeah.
We can have this conversation and sit here with four. I mean, you've heard me say this 100 times, Sam, but like, we can do this and compare our lives and talk about things and subconsciously like just think about our own lives in comparison to the people around us. We can do it in this condensed setting. Even with, I'm okay with like, you know, 7 people, 8 people. I can handle that.
Yeah.
When you go in on the internet and it's 1 to 10,000.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to have a conversation with like 10,000 people in a room.
Yeah.
Like I can't, and they're all telling me what's going on in their lives. Exactly. I'm like, how are you? And they're like, this is what I did today.
Yeah.
And like, I couldn't even breathe. Like to me, that sound, you know what I mean?
That's how it is. We're not really, I don't think, programmed to even process that much information shared with us.
We can't.
You know, it's like, I can't process the thousands of comments of grief on any horrible news story. Like, it's really overwhelming to the point where, like, it doesn't for me because of the way I'm wired. I don't tend to get driven to depression by it. I get driven to, equally scary, a numbness to the bad news.
100%.
I'm like, well, if I'm hearing it all the time and there's so much misery and suffering, it's very difficult. And again, given the privileges I have, it's easy to slip into a place of like, well, I can just like not acknowledge it because I can't possibly process all of it.
It's impossible.
I stop processing any of it. I don't want to be though a sort of a passive person, especially in these times where like, you know, as involved or political as you want to be or not, like it seems like being wholly passive is not a good option. You know what I mean? I don't want to be
an option.
No. True. That's true. I know people demand sort of. It's very interesting. It's interesting how that plays into our politics and the world and the world politics. Like we're all so connected that like I don't even think of China, Russia, all these places as like far away, distant. Like they're so accessible.
It's
now.
Immediate. It's
I know.
Very immediate.
But like our president is tweeting. It's odd that like with one rise, with the rise of being able to access that, we also have like, it, I don't know. It you know, and that's a can of worms.
There's a whole, I was going to say there's into, a whole other can of worms there. There's a couple things I've watched that have said that, you know, he has an addiction to Twitter.
I'm sure he does. Like we all do. He just has like,
but he needs the validation.
Yeah.
He loves the likes and the hate. Like, I know. Because, you know, I mean? Guess what? It's getting retweeted no matter the fuck what.
It's weird. It's like clearly attention and
clearly
that's a human thing we do need. And like, look at where we're at with it.
But that's my, again, you know, I think, again, it's like, take it back, reflect it back upon yourself. Is there a piece of, why do I feel so uncomfortable by this?
Right? Of course. Because I agree. Things I'm really critical about, especially with other people, tend to be my own shit.
100%.
I'm like, oh, you do. And then I'm like, well, that's probably because I'm like a little worried I do that.
Yeah.
Or I look like that. Or I feel like that. Yeah, it's totally, that's a weird thing, right? It's like anything we're super critical of, often like we're very self-critical about.
I remember like my parents telling me that like, you know, people that were bullies were like the most insecure.
Right.
The ones that were like, well, you know, because I'll do it inwardly. We're all like, you know, like you were just saying, like, I'll see something and be like, oh, fuck that.
Right.
You know?
Oh,
and that reflects on me. But then when someone does it outwardly, like, there's a deep insecurity.
I
know.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I agree. There's a total difference. I also think it's like impossible. And I'm not sure I really trust a person who's able to like have only pure thoughts and never like the fuck you. It's like,
no, you can't. No one.
I know.
There's
only building people up. It's like, you know what? If you're honestly, I used to think about like people being fake or this, that, the other thing, but it's like, if someone is going to make fun of me to whatever degree behind my back, but puts up the effort to be kind to my face, I'm like, thank you for the effort of being friendly. Like, I don't want you to harm me, and I go to like minimize that, but it's like, it's unrealistic to think that like, because we've all, what do you want to call it, talking shit or been critical of people. It's ridiculous to think that no one is being critical of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
Well, it's very easy conversation.
It is.
It's very easy.
It's scary. You bond with acquaintances. If I can find someone we both know...
The fastest way to bond.
That we can be like, oh, I don't know about the... Oh, I love you for the... It's so weird. How many times have I done that with someone?
It's, well, because I think all of a sudden we go, oh, someone else feels the same way as I do.
Right.
Right? It's much harder to be like, I know what joy feels like. Someone's like, I know what joy feels like too. Like, that's a conversation that's happening far less.
Exactly.
Than like, I don't like this person.
No.
Like, I don't like that person either.
I know. That's so weird. You would think we would like sort of sharing.
Well, people argue that that's why, again, back to Donald Trump, like that's why people love to rally around a common hate, a common thing that they don't like.
Yeah.
But I find that, you know,
right.
Those conversations, the ones where I'm like talking crap about people, I never leave feeling better.
No, that's not what they're for. And I think as long as you limit them, and I think as long as you know at some part that like you're really not above anyone. I like think about how we all feel special in certain ways. I almost always feel like, oh, I'm a smart person in this room that I'm in. But then you realize almost everyone feels like that in that room that you're in because none of us are that different.
No.
That is really
good. We're all pretty dumb, actually.
Right. It's like, well, all right. Well, we're all thinking that. So, like, I'm talking to this person and I might be in my head, like, rolling my eyes at them. And they're probably literally doing that at my, like, stoned, goofy ass looking at them. So it's like, it has helped me take myself a lot less seriously. And that's another rare time I will, like, not be super humble. And I will give myself some credit. I have taken myself so much less seriously in the last year and a half. And
dude,
it has been
amazing. I think
that's
amazing. So powerful.
I love it.
Because all of a sudden the stakes are lower.
They
and you're
are.
Like, I don't
they
really,
should be.
Right. It's like there's too much other fucking shit to be stressed and worried about that like I just have to like be me and like be the most true real version of me.
Totally.
And if you like me, like fucking awesome.
Right.
And if not, like, that's cool too.
Exactly. I mean, it's like,
as long as you're nice.
Right, exactly. If you're friendly in that, even the people then you don't click with, it's fine. It goes back to the audition thing. It's the same sort of, when you drop that artifice, you literally might, instead of 50% of people's thing, if you're faking it, you might be 20%, but those will hire you to the fucking job and give you the contract.
Yep.
Because they're into you for real.
Well, they're into you.
Yeah, exactly. And you can actually bring that. And the feeling of being able to deliver what people come to expect from you is so, it's
so gratifying.
It's empowering. I'm like, yeah, well, I've established who I actually am in front of you guys. One of the reasons I like you guys is like, we just are the way we are. And I know when I come over here, we don't hang that often, but I'm like, it's just going to be like straight shooter, no bullshit. Easy.
No bullshit.
It's
like,
great.
Why? But like, why the bullshit?
I don't
know.
You know
what I mean? Like,
I don't.
I'm out of time for it. Like, I just, I'm like, no, I'm reclaiming my time. Like, I just don't have time for the bullshit. Which is, and listen, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, it's the reason why I don't go to as many things as I used to go to. It's the reason why I just, because it's like, I don't feel the need to show up and have to put on this thing.
I know.
Of like, I'm on, and it's like, I don't, you know what? Cause it's exhausting.
It is.
Cause this for me is like recharging. This for me is, I don't feel stressed. I don't feel calm. It's not tired. I'm like, I'm like
alive. Sure. You're in the moment.
Present.
We've been talking to each other presently this whole time.
Haven't been on our phones.
Literally. And not even like the, where is it? It's, that is really valuable. I think what you're doing, like, this is really valuable for me for this hour or however long we're talking. It's valuable time for me, no matter what happens, who listens to it. Like, yeah. And I think you feel the same, and that's why you're doing 1,000%. It. And I think sharing that is the stuff we want. That's the content I flock to, whether it's television that I think, oh, they're writing something really close to like a genuine vision. I'm like, I watch reality TV now mostly because obviously it's bullshit producer, but those people, the ones who are willing to go on there and do that, are so real in a way that I think is the opposite of actor real.
I totally understand.
I almost find it easier to buy into than like your run-of-the-mill scripted network show.
They're like, this is me.
Literally. And I'm like, commit. Right. It's fucking amazing.
Right, you've
committed. I couldn't do that.
Right, you've committed to like, this is who I am.
Totally.
This is me. Like, this is the full version. That's
right.
So interesting.
They talk to the camera like what they say matters. I'm like, I like am bashful taking a selfie of myself. Like, oh God, why am I doing that? Like, and they are like, I find it really fuck. And it's also hilarious. And like, I love reality TV.
What do you watch?
The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Recently, Love Island, which honestly.
Oh, I've heard Love Island is really
good. You need to get into it. It's a British version where they like. It's not super family friendly. Like there's sex talk and shown and the people are so real. And these British people are so honest with each other. They actually talk about their feelings. The boys cry. There's like conflict resolution. It puts our shit to shame. And I just, Kamiko
like
and I watched 30
television.
Episodes in the last week.
Wow.
It is amazing.
Oh, you're really into it. Wow. I had no idea that was like a thing.
Oh, watch Love Island. It's on Hulu. Honestly, watch it. Please, you'll love it.
I promise it's good. I will always try it.
When you're like, what
there's
do I
nothing I
watch?
Won't try, Sean.
I know. And like, reality TV is dumb in all the ways it is, obviously. But it also, a lot of scripted stuff is really dumb, too.
100%. You know? Well,
I've done dumb stuff.
I appreciate what you said about this being valuable, because I agree with you. This is, the reason why I'm doing this is because I like doing this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I feel that.
The truth is, like, and maybe this is ridiculous to say, but like, I don't have any attachment to the number of people that listen to this. Like, I just like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And I do in a place of, you know, I hope that the people that listen to this get value out of it.
Yes.
And I will. I'm just allowing it to grow in the way that it will.
Totally.
And not feeling like it needs to be forced, because the thing, if I do the thing that I enjoy doing, which is this, the having the conversations,
yes,
the thing I like love doing more than anything.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, well then I just, as long as I get to keep doing that, I'm like, great.
Right. Whatever sort of outcome comes becomes the desired outcome.
Right. Because back to what you were saying, it's an honest version of me. Right.
Right.
It's like to walk in a room and to be your full true self, mm-hmm, and then to get the gig, you're like, oh, like they wanted me.
Literally. That's worth like 100 not get gigs.
Right.
Whereas like the fake ones aren't worth any.
At all.
And then you're like, wow, I'm miserable. I get the thing and I feel like I faked my way into it. Like you're going to feel that imposter syndrome anyway. So like just that's.
But now, but it's made me much more critical of the things that come in. It's made me more critical because I go, wait a minute, do I get to be a true version of myself? Do I get to feel a sense of ownership over this? Or is this thing so far away from me, mm-hmm, or written in whatever way that I'm like, you know what? There's no way that I'm going to be able to feel like I can go in the room and be my true self.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there are certain things that I will pass on or just don't want to make the effort again to like to force myself into that box. And, you know,
I feel the same way about friendships.
Yeah, that's true.
Where
friendships
I can interact with a person and there's a decision you make where you go like, okay, I now understand how true I can be with this, like how honest and real and authentic I can be with this person because of the way that they're presenting themselves to me.
Right. That's true. And you start to which people are worth, because sometimes you in life, I was going to say with the jobs, sometimes you need a job and you have to make yourself do it.
Yes.
Sometimes you need this friendship or this relationship.
Yeah.
So you have to make, but you start realizing that it's different. It's like, okay, well, that's one thing. When I put on the artifice is one thing.
The separation.
Yes. And like, it's okay to do that. I really do think that's a part of like civilized life. And it's a part of our industry for sure. Like posturing in certain ways.
Yeah, but we do it in real life.
That's true too.
Do you know what I mean? Like there are 100%, there are relationships that you feel like, well, I know who I can be. I know who I'm, like how I show up at with this person.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are definitely people that when I see them, I can tell you the lines of what the interaction's going to be.
Yeah, same.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it doesn't, I'm not saying that that's
not
valuable.
Bad,
no,
right.
And it's not bad. I'm not going to be mean to a person. Yeah. Like, I don't have it. There's no value in you. No.
Right, no.
Like, if you show up with kindness and you show up with, like, generosity and, you know, as best you can, you try to show up as, you know, your true self or some version of your true self. And then you let the thing go. You let the thing, you're like, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah.
If I'm meant to be if I'm meant to have a relationship and a friendship with this person and it really is like, we really connect, then like that it'll continue to grow.
Carry on. Right.
And same thing with a job. It's like, if this job is connected to me and they want me for me, then I'll get it.
It's going to be great. Right.
And it'll be awesome.
Yeah. And if not, like probably not. And that's okay.
And that's fine.
Yeah. It's weird.
I think, 25, I mean, the mid-20s is so fucking weird anyways.
It is.
And I feel like it's this. It's the process of being, of like learning all these things that like I didn't know when I was 22.
Yeah, and it's a similarity between so many of the things I think we've talked about and that I've come to realize, and I'm sure you have in one way or another, is that like it's realizing more and more things that like, you will never know, you know what I mean? Or you will never understand in a way you once thought you did. Like adulthood used to like, there was this idea of, and then these answers you know by way of just being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I think I'm just realizing more and more, oh, like, I'm on my own here. I got to learn what I want to learn. I got to do what I want to do. Like,
I have ownership of my life.
Yeah, I'm an adult. That's what, adulthood is almost a scary thing where you realize like, oh, I have to create and build and learn. And any of the stuff that I want to be realities of my adulthood is my responsibility to do and create and find. I mean, that's scary.
And
a lot
of days, that's powerful. It's terrifying.
But it is.
But it's very powerful because, listen, there are, I think, people that get caught in the thing of thinking that they're not.
Yeah.
And that they can't.
Right.
And that the thing that they've wanted, they can't build. And they can't because they feel like they need to do X, Y, and Z. And, of course, there are circumstances that, like, sometimes you have to be in certain situations.
Right.
But
yeah, it's not.
It's the process of realizing, you know, I am the builder.
Mm-hmm.
And like, like that it's going to be on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that like, no one is going to give you like, they're just like, does anybody have a map? I mean, honestly.
No, literally.
Because there's no roadmap. And listen, I will make all the musical theater references
that
all day.
That one was really good. It was almost so good that it was corny. That's where I was like, yeah.
I'm so grateful you like.
Me too. I also feel like I know you guys even better after this because it's just, it was very intentional. And thank you for asking me to do it.
You're the first person.
Oh my gosh! I hope I broke it in well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it feels good. It feels. That's the thing. Is like, as long as I walk away feeling more full than when I sat down.
It's a victory.
Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's no downside. And I'm like, then, oh wow, I get to now share this with people. Like, that's really
Agreed.
Fucking cool.
I agree, and I'm like proud of how sort of not on ourselves I think we were, and that has
See,
value.
That's what I want. Going for is more of that, because I think that's what we need.
Agreed. I certainly need help accessing that throughout my day and life, so I gravitate towards people and activities and things that bring that out of you. So this is wonderful.
To tap into people's light so that they can shine. That's hell my yeah. why. That's my whole thing.
That's beautiful and succinct and genuine.
Hear you say that, it means a lot. And I'm like, this is great. This is like the best start of the whole thing it could possibly have been.
I'm so glad. I really enjoyed it.